Hey, welcome back. It's the Alternative Perspectives Podcast, the App 868. And this is the second episode for the week. So if you're seeing this one or hearing this one and you didn't check out the next one for the week, go and look for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, boy. So we're jumping into Kanye and this anti-Semitic statements and all this drama. And first of all, here's one of the questions I want to ask, right? Because I heard Kanye read what anti-Semitism is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a real definition or something he write on.
I didn't hear what he said.
Right?
I didn't hear that where you read.
But you read it. What the hell? I did my phone. Cool, I put my phone far away. Yeah. But basically, you know, he say even saying things like, this is what he's reading, saying things that like the Jews own most of the banks and the Jews, that is anti-Semitism as well. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is where I kind of, and I'm looking for you to help me here. This is where I'm confused. Normally, people say all these things about regular white people.
Yes.
Or white people that includes Jews as well, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And nobody's have a problem with it now, boy.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
People just show hate at white people for being successful. They call them white supremacists or right, whatever they call them, right?
They imply that they collude to hold other races down.
Yeah.
They say that all the time.
All the time.
Yes.
And nobody has a problem with that. Not the white people, not the black people. Even the Jews who will be lumped in that at that point. There's not a problem with that. So, like, where's the difference when it comes to just talking about Jews?
Well, which is a funny thing, eh? Because everything that has happened has done nothing but prove Kanye West's point, right? Jews have always considered themselves to be treated, or they have always felt like they should be treated differently. And this is not a conjecture on my part. You just look at their behavior. I don't know what he read, and I don't know if it's a dictionary definition of anti-Semitism, but that is not new. The fact that anti-Semitism essentially just means anything that offends Jews. Right? Anything.
Even if you say it in an endearing way, but they feel the
point they're trying to make is that, when Hitler tried to drum up anti-Semitic sentiment in preparation for the Holocaust, right? And I mean, it was happening long before that. But one of the things that they would do would be to kind of perpetuate this stereotype of Jews being these greedy, materialistic, conniving people who were in charge of the financial system and colluding to keep large amounts of wealth for themselves and cause other people to suffer. A lot of the movies that were done during that Third Reich era, I think Goebbels was the guy in charge of I think he was the minister of propaganda in that Nazi regime. He was in charge of producing the propaganda that would drum up the anti-Semitic sentiment. They used to produce movies like that. There was one that was directed specifically at the Rothschilds, the Rothschilds family, right? Where the Jews were always depicted as these money hungry, so what they would say is that when people say those things, it reinforces that stereotype that then encourages people to look at Jews in that way. Now, I cannot understand if what I'm saying is true, then I don't, maybe it might sound like something Goebbels used to say back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of things that I might say that Hitler might have said. Mm. There are plenty of things you might say that Hitler might have said. That doesn't make them any less true. I'm not talking about with respect to Jews. I just mean...
Generally.
In general, there are things he might... So, to simply say that Hitler used to say that doesn't mean that it's an incorrect statement.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, and you could say that, as I say, that would be their argument, that when you perpetuate these, and they would call them conspiracy theories about Jewish people, you know, kind of being these puppeteers who are controlling elements of the world and at least the financial and entertainment industries. When you say those things and help to perpetuate those stereotypes, it could lead people to, you know, becoming anti-Semitic then.
Mm-hmm.
But I could also say that, yeah, by you saying that, you're just trying to protect yourself from criticism. Mm. So anything anybody says, as long as it bothers you, you can ban people from saying it. But that's how Jews have, once Jews had ascended to, you know, I should be careful because I might start to sound like him. I might start to say I'm sounding like him. But once, you know, Jews began to occupy positions of power and were able to kind of control how they were perceived by the rest of the world, they've been kind of doing that. They've been kind of saying, well, yeah, anytime you say anything that sounds similar to the rhetoric and propaganda put out by, you know, the Nazis, and you're essentially being anti-Semitic.
Because I was watching Flagrant and Andrew Schultz, and one of the guys who I think is Jewish on his team, what they were saying is that why they taking it so serious now. Well, Schultz is not Jew, but he claims, you know, he's been around Jews his entire life.
Okay.
What they're saying is why they taking it so serious now is because going into a recession and going through the kind of economic turmoil we might be seeing in the near future, they don't want people to have the perception or the idea that the reason you suffering personally is because of them. Mm-hmm. And cause people to start to attack them. You know, that is how they were trying to put it.
Listen, my thing is none of that should matter. It should simply be, is what is being said true?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't listen to all of the Drink Champs interview because by the time I was trying to listen to it in parts and then it came down, right? I've heard a lot of people talk about what it is he said, so I'm only going by what I heard and what the rest that I've heard other people say that he said. But essentially, apart from the going DEFCON on the Jews, I think he did that. He said that on Twitter, right? I think he tweeted that. Apart from that, all he kept pointing out was the fact that Jewish people were the power players in the entertainment industry, and that they profited off of the promotion of a certain type of music and entertainment that was negatively affecting Black people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the be all and end all of what he said?
Yeah, basically. Right. And well, the thing is, what he's saying is a lot of the shitty deals he has gotten, and when he look back at it, it was
they were the ones who
kind of orchestrated it or benefited more than him, right?
Right. Now, which is something I heard that, right? Yeah. Which is something that could be said about anybody in the music industry, right? And if again, what he's pointing out is in his instance, and it's obviously going to be likely because he was signed to Def Jam, right? And even when he was under Rockefeller, Rockefeller was under Def Jam. And then even his record label was signed was handled by Def Jam.
Mm-hmm.
And Def Jam, last time I checked, was run by Leo Cohen, who I believe, at least at that time, and he is Jewish, as far as I'm aware, right? So, if what he's saying is that in his personal deals, he felt as if he was shafted, and he was shafted by people who were Jewish, then that in combination with his observation that Jewish people are the major power players in the entertainment industry, and that they the ones co-signing.
The man bring out his thing to show you, you know, on the boards are each one, and Walt Disney, this one.
Right.
And you say, like, this is you.
Right. So again, if what he's saying is that these are the power players, and these power players are the ones who profit largely. I mean, this is a ticklish thing to it, because the artists act as if they don't profit as well.
Mm.
So the artists who sing, you know, kill a nigga, shoot a nigga, right, they also profit off of singing that, you know, music that harms their own community. But he is pointing out that, you know, the people who profit the most are Jewish, because they are the power players in the entertainment industry, especially in music and in Hollywood. If that is incorrect, then tell him it's incorrect. Now, if it is not incorrect, then I don't care how you... Because you could say, any group could say that you can't criticize me, even if the criticism is legitimate, right? Because if you criticize me, then it might cause some crazy person to then, you know, attack me. But then it's kind of like the Democrats are trying to do the same thing now with respect to what happened to Nancy Pelosi, Pelosi's husband, right? So it's trying to say, well, they're running, the Republicans running attack ads against Nancy Pelosi. And then Nancy Pelosi's husband gets attacked. So therefore, they should stop running the ads. That's crazy, because then how are we going to have a political campaign? You know what I mean? Weren't ads targeting Donald Trump when he was in office? You understand what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, the way, if you were a Democrat in certain areas to get, you know, to drum up support, was to attack and call Trump's name and to associate every single candidate, even if you were going up against a Republican who was completely different. The way you would paint him negatively would be to attach him to Trump, who had nothing to do with your personal campaign. So that shouldn't be allowed, because then somebody might run in Donald Trump's house and try to hit his son or his, you know what I mean? So that's foolish. You only pretending because you don't want to be criticized. So you are going to say, well, even if what he's saying is not true, then simply point that out. And you could say simple things like, yeah, I mean, artists have been being jerked by people of all races.
Yeah, because the thing is, it has certain artists who are under Kanye
Big Sean is one of them.
Yeah, right? I would say that. There are people who are under Diddy.
Yeah.
Mace. Still going to that back and forth to Diddy.
Deluxe was the same thing when they were signed to Bad Boy, right? So, you know, the whether you are being mistreated or not, I don't think has to do with the race, you know, of the individuals involved. And, you know, if it was a white, like a Caucasian, a Aryan race, an Aryan Caucasian who signed your deal, he probably would have jerked you too, right? So if you're suggesting that Jews are doing it on purpose because they don't like black people, then all right, maybe then you need to make a case. Then you need to say, well, you know, these Jews are targeting black people. And treating black people especially bad, then you need to make a case. But I don't know if that's what he's saying. He's simply saying, listen, these are the power players, and they have been maneuvering.
You see, here's the hard part of it, Jude. It's very difficult to understand what Kanye is saying, because Kanye, in one conversation, he's real switch. Now, I can't say he does switch totally, because like one of the things he's saying as well is that He say he envy Jews. You understand? He envy the unity they have. He envy their business practices. He envy their family unit, how it operates. So the thing is, so on one hand, it might seem like he attacking them or saying that they're evil. And the next hand, he's saying he envy certain things about them. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, I don't know what to draw from him, what he said. Or is it that he's a person, he's just sputings, if you understand.
Well, I think the point he's trying to make is that, listen, he envies them from the perspective of if black people had that same mentality, we wouldn't be the bottom feeders anymore, right? And I think what he would say is, okay, when he talks about the business practices that he envies, he'd probably, no, I'm not a Kanye whisperer, but I'm just trying to pick sense from nonsense. And I think what he's trying to say is, well, the fact, first of all, they're business people, right? And they have a mind, or they dominate certain fields, certain industries, clearly, because they focus on it. And he was saying, well, he's probably thinking, well, if we as black people, we had our minds on commerce in the way that they do, you know, in terms of owning and building, you know, equity and things and so on, we would be better off. And in terms of their family, the close-knit nature, they support each other. You know what I mean? And it's probably, it's easier with Jews, obviously, because I heard a statistic some years ago that shocked me, and I didn't even believe it. You know, how many Jews do you think there are on planet Earth?
You know, just did it, I really hear it, and it wasn't that much.
15 million.
Yeah, something like that.
15 million. And considering that a lot of them live in Israel, one country alone, that means, you know, spread across the rest of the world, the rest of the Western world, you know, all of Europe, Western Europe, the UK, Canada, America, just 15 million. Just 15 million. And they control so much. Eh? So, you know, and the fact that so many of them occupy those positions, it does say that they clearly have some sort of acumen. You know what I mean? They have some sort of expertise in these areas. You know what I mean? And they share that expertise amongst themselves. Because clearly, if businesses are going from the hands of one Jewish person to another Jewish person, and the businesses ain't failing, right? The industries are being, the banking industry, there are a lot of Jews that are in high ranking positions there. So,
I was watching a video the other day with a Jewish guy. After all the bacchanal, he's like, oh, so listen, let me come out and tell all you with our practices in our way. And he went on explaining that this is what we do as Jews to keep things, you know, and he say, well, how they bring up their children,
right.
You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, one of the things he say, you know, you always teach your children, you know, to find a way to make money. Because if you're not finding a way to make money, then you're looking to steal money. You understand? Because the day when they do have money and they have a way to make money, then you're looking to steal it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's about like 10 different things you're saying that Jews do. And, you know, this thing with passing down.
Right.
And passing down is very important.
Yes.
Right?
Passing down not just money, but knowledge and expertise. So that's why the industries have been controlled by Jews for so long. They weren't controlled by Jews and then the second generation come and it all fall down. Or the third generation. No, it's banking has been controlled by Jews for zillion years. You know what I mean? And the entertainment industry, you know, it doesn't collapse when the next generation comes in. So clearly they are not just passing on money. Or assets or resources, they're passing on knowledge and expertise. And again, so to speaking about what Kanye West was probably saying when he said he envies them, that's probably what he means. But then he's also going to, in his mind, point out some of the negative practices. Yeah. And I think the most important thing is the fact that, you know, he was essentially, yeah, you know, it's a funny thing. I don't know if you saw this, right? But, I think somebody said, I didn't see it, but I heard Charlamagne suggested or insinuated that Kanye West was a Nazi, right? I think he said something to that effect on The Breakfast Club. And he has been chastising Kanye.
Yeah.
But then they found a interview with him and DJ Vlad, where he was saying to DJ Vlad, and DJ Vlad is Jewish, right? That they are, you know, that old saying, if you want to know who governs you or who rules over you, look at who you can't criticize. Right. He started in Senate. He started talking about that. And he's saying how they, you know, black people don't have any organization. We don't have any organization that defends us with any real weight. He says, because you can say anything about black people. You say, but you can't say about Jews. Right. And DJ Vlad started like, oh, nah, I mean, you can't say some racist about black people. And he said, you know, go come back. He said, and Charlamagne's like, nah, bro. Nah. I find the clip outside there, right? It's like, nah, bro, not like Jews. Don't make. And he also put gays in that category. He said, right. Jews and gays, right? And then he said, listen, I'm not even feeling comfortable having this conversation right now. He was telling DJ Vlad, like, no, he was giggling, but he's like, nah, I really don't even feel comfortable. He's like parking up the conversation. He saying the same thing that Kanye is saying now, you know, and then there was also another time he interviewed, Leo Cohen. On The Breakfast Club. And he was saying to Leo Cohen, like, you know, you don't feel kind of hypocritical.
Right, yeah. I saw like, that clip, yeah.
You know, you, all these songs.
All they're putting out, yeah.
You know, with all these artists and Leo Cohen was like, I have somebody to feed.
Yeah, I have a family to feed, yeah.
I have people to feed. You know what I mean? And he's like, and Leo Cohen said, I'm not hypocritical, but opportunist, but.
Yeah.
So, but isn't that something we should really be talking about? Like, wait. Whether it's Jewish people or not, right? Somebody's profiting off of promoting music that is negative, and we claim every day to care about this community, right? As a matter of fact, Kanye can't even point out that Jewish people control many industries or whatever, because it's deemed anti-Semitic and it's shut down immediately, right? Because as far as they are concerned, we know where this could lead. This could turn into the Holocaust and gas chambers in no time, right? But then we could perpetuate all kind of thing about black people. Mm-hmm. We could, you know, we could play music that promotes black on black crime every single day.
Well, Leanna, let me tell you, it's one of the funniest things I heard. So they're talking about us on Playground, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Alex Media was saying that he is the person who does kind of see about the technical aspect of what he's talking on the show now, because Playground now is different the way it was before, right? So it's like four of them is actually talking on the podcast.
Okay.
Right? And they interview people. So but you're saying, you know, that this is one of the worst things from Kanye. Nah? So Andrew should say, worse than when he says slavery as a choice.
Mm-hmm. And the George Floyd thing.
Nah, well, even right? Mm. And Alex say, yeah, this, do you think it's worse than when he says slavery as a choice?
Yeah.
And you know, Andrew was confused. Like, you are a black person, and you saying that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. As a black person, you think what he said there was worse than saying slavery as a choice?
And let's be honest, and this is the thing that gets me angry. Like Kanye West, what Kanye West said there is not something that it's not like nobody's ever heard that before.
Yeah.
You know, that sentiment has always been around. I've heard, I heard her interviewed Erykah Badu where she pointed that out.
There are plenty of words.
So, I mean, you could say, well, in today's culture, you didn't expect somebody to say it, but stop acting like it's the first time you hear somebody insinuate that, you know, Jews control these industries and, you know, they set things up in a way so that they can't be criticized. And when Kanye's whole point is, this is one group of people I can't say anything about or else I am done.
Mm.
And
then that's it.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
He went down that whole road of that dotishness that he let Candace Owens drag him into that dog shit with her. You know what I mean? And start talking this sort of talk about George Floyd. But
the thing is, these are kind of plenty in one question here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think all these things were strategic from Kanye, or is just really craziness? You understand what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
He partnered with Candace Owens because this is how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I feel he ran out in the White Lives Matter. Now some people are saying he wanted to come out of the Adidas deal, right? But it would have been difficult for him to just get exited, right? So let's just say that's the situation. Him coming out to the White Lives Matter. Okay, Adidas didn't bite. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He talking the George Floyd thing. They invite. And then he decided he going hell hard on the anti-Semitic thing.
Yeah.
Because like, even when he said it on Drink Jams, and he said, I could make anti-Semitic statements and they still wouldn't drop me.
Yeah.
To me, that's not like a clip. Mm-hmm. He said that in clip form.
Yeah.
To irritate them now, boy.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, if it is a strategy, I think it's a dumb one. Because yeah, I'm sure he wanted to exit the Adidas deal because he felt he could make a lot more through other means, right? But I don't think he wanted to exit the Adidas deal with everybody also closing doors on him, because the issue is now you don't have the capital to do what you wanted to do before. He wanted to bump up his own manufacturing. He was a Fox News interview. Was Fox or the business, Bloomberg Business. Anyway, he was there talking about how he wanted to bring manufacturing to America. I think he was going to set up a factory in Nevada or something like that. I don't know if you have the capital to do that now, because he would have been able to, I would assume, borrow on his net worth, you know, the royalties he would have with Adidas, and use that to fund his own, you know, his own endeavors. But if you no longer have access to the royalties, I don't know. Where capital is going to come from? And now it's going to be very difficult for you to do anything with anybody, because you've just become persona non grata. You're not on social media, so you can't promote yourself. Your profile will eventually taper off, you know? So if this was his way of exiting the Adidas deal, then I think it was a real dumb.
No, the thing is, some people are saying this was his way, but then you didn't know that it would have gotten so wild. Now. Like it went real crazy. Probably he went too wild. And
no, but I think he kept saying that. He's like, hey, listen, when I say these things, I'm going to be persona non grata, you know? I've seen all these clips where you're saying, you know, one day I could be homeless and I'll be back to, and you'll think Kanye West is done, but then I'll be back at it after a couple of years. So he must have known that this is what was going to come. I mean, he might have felt, like you say, he wanted specifically Adidas to drop him one time, but he would have known that when you type something like "I'm going DEFCON on the Jews,"
and to be fair, I don't think. I mean, obviously that is a shitty way to put it, but I think that is Kanye, for somebody who's just be very good at words. I think he's very poor at words. Well, at the same
inarticulate
time.
To me. Yeah. He's very inarticulate. Yeah. A lot of rappers are. Yeah.
I think what he is meaning to say there is that. Aguinan come hard at him now.
Well, his explanation was that what he was going to say was that he was getting ready for them, right? Which is what I think the whole DEFCON statement means. You're on high alert,
right?
That's what he said he meant, right? Most people would, and I think he spelled it incorrectly too. So I think that is, people thought he meant death, essentially he meant because I've been saying what I've been saying, I'm getting ready for the backlash. That's what he said. But if I had read that without him saying that, I would have thought, not that I'm going to shoot and kill
exactly,
Jews,
yeah.
But I'm going to talk the things.
Yeah, I'm going to talk the things. That's what I thought it was.
Right. So, but he would have known that was coming for him. But, I think, with Candace Owens, he just got taken in by her. And I think, you know, kind of like what would attract most people to Candace Owens. Some of the things she says make sense. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, yeah, and it sounds like, you know, things that you kind of feel and nobody's saying, and then she's saying it in this real forceful and kind of charismatic manner. So you get drawn to her. And then you don't know when to pull back because some people don't know when to pull back, but to realize when she's she's going off the rails. And so she suck you in with this George Floyd documentary bullshit. Now, I keep calling it bullshit to everybody I talk to, but I should be fair, I haven't watched it. I'll never watch, to be fair, I wouldn't watch anything Candace Owens produced, but,
Well, to be fair, it's not just a George Floyd documentary.
It's a Black Lives Matter thing, right? Yeah. To be fair. But he went down that road, right? And that wasn't the straw that broke the camel's back. So doesn't that prove exactly what his point is? That, you know,
he actually went against something that was tried, if you want to put that, because he came out and said that his fentanyl killed George Floyd.
Yes.
When Derek Chauvin went to court and was tried and convicted.
Yes. For second degree murder.
Second degree murder, right?
Yes.
So you actually went against something that was tried and true. But you decide. But when you say something that kind of airy fairy,
which is a defendable statement, right? You mightn't like the sentiment it raises. You might think it has, you know, certain earmarks of you know what a certain guy with a tiny mustache used to say. You might think that, but all of that hasn't, you know, it doesn't refute the fact that what he's saying is not indefensible, right? You can argue with him. You can say, okay, show me where the Jews are conspiring to keep you down, right? And for that, he's now persona non grata. That is absolutely nuts. And you're trying to tell me that he has no merit to what he was saying? That's crazy, dog. That's crazy. And as I say, if anything, I would have thought, I shouldn't say I would have thought, because I know the Jews are, you know, that you don't go there, right? But let's say, if with all things being equal, in the way we pretend the world is, you would have thought that the George Floyd thing would be the thing that would, would be the point of no return, you know, especially since, you know, he's a hip hop artist. He has a large following as Black, you know. We in the age of racial sensitivity and all of that.
As you say, it proves that, you know, a lot of these things fake. A lot of these things, people just run on what's popular at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Because, and listen, I don't even, because people try to, you know, I was talking to somebody and he was like, but yeah, I didn't think you's a man would have closed your mind to that boy, but you watch the documentary. No, I'm not watching. First of all, I don't need Candace Owens to tell me that the Black Lives Matter organization is a scam. I don't need her to tell me that, right? And from the time I heard that involved anything with defending the police officers involved with that George Floyd thing, I was like, I don't want to hear it. I don't care. Because what difference does it make if, even if fentanyl was the major causal factor, like, had he not ingested fentanyl, the police officer could have knelt on his neck for as long as he did and he would not have died. That is of no consequence to how I view that police officer. Right? And how I view that police officer's behavior in that situation. I don't care if George Floyd killed 50 people. Maybe if he killed 50 people, I might have cared about that. But I don't care if he was locked up for assault, he raped some woman 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 days ago, doesn't matter. That police officer's behavior was inexcusable and atrocious. And anything that you're saying now that detracts from that,
Listen, I agree with you 100% there. And once again, it's what we say about Candace Owens. Like, also, he is always overpushed, dog. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Always overpushing. And I think, like, you could have do a documentary on Patrice Cullors and Black Lives Matter and them. Because the thing is, you will say that you didn't need her to show it up. But clearly, a lot of Americans' eyes were open from that.
Serious?
Yeah, boy. And even people who I thought should have known. You understand what I'm saying?
They watched that documentary, yeah. or their eyes were opened when some of the fraud that they had committed went across social media.
So, like people like Akash and them, Akash Singh and them, same playground team. When they watched the documentary, they got a lot more insight into like who Patrice Cullors was, what she did with the money, them kind of thing. That way, because I think they would have heard somebody whispers about.
Oh, you talking about them kind of people?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the general public. Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
And the thing is, I think if them who doing podcasts every week, dog.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but the thing is, I didn't expect many people in general public to watch that documentary.
All right, yeah.
They would watch it because they want to see, they want to comment on it because they want to be in the know when they talk, when they're commenting. But the average person who's not a Candace Owens support, in other words, that when they say it opened plenty people's eyes, I was like, really? Because I think the people who would have watched that would have been her supporters. Anyway.
Right. But, and the thing is with them, them real anti-Candace Owens.
Right, yeah, but they would have watched it because they're podcast hosts and they want to talk about it.
And so the thing is, I would have thought the things I knew about Patrice Cullors, they would have known.
They would have known.
They living across the you know, much more involved and whatever. But then when I realized their eyes were not opening, I think the documentary could have helped deal with a lot of that across there. But then when they come and they're spinning this George Floyd thing, as I say, oh, so God, dog, that was tried and, you know, everything. Because, you know, one of the things apparently in the documentary is that the ME said, that he had a fatal amount of fentanyl in his system. The ME didn't say that's what killed him. And the ME, they said that that's not what killed him.
Right. But he had a dose of, and he had an amount of fentanyl in him that could have caused him to die. Yes.
No, the thing is, apparently in the documentary though, Candace Owens left those things into it. So I don't know, you had to watch it.
I don't have to watch it, but
the fact that because she could have edited that way, but she left the MEC in, well,
but which makes it even worse, right? Which makes it to the point, what you're trying to do is you're trying to cast, you know, these aspersions on the character of George Floyd, which has nothing to do with the situation, and which in and of, because I could kind of understand, right? I could kind of understand how people might get frustrated when they might want to venerate George Floyd in this way, or they might want to, you know, because, you know, it's the same thing like when any little black boy get killed. Yeah. He was a good boy. He was a this, he was a... And, you know, if you knew him, you might know, ah, man was really a personal dog. Mm. So, you know. But this is not the time when that is of issue. So I could kind of understand after his death, people who try to make him out into a saint, they might be like, oh God, dog, the man was not a saint. But I'm not going to argue that with anybody because that's not the point. The point is a police officer who had no reason to do what he did, just did something and killed the man. You know what I'm saying? So why are you so fixated on disparaging the character of the victim in this case when nothing, none of that had anything to do with the police officer kneeling on his neck? None of it.
Yeah. So as I say, it's that's kind of so insweet. All is over pushing.
It's more than over pushing to me, you know. You know, there's this tendency to call any black person who doesn't fall in line with the narrative to be, you know, Uncle Tom or, you know, if you're a black person who you know, doesn't act like racism is the biggest problem in the world to you, and you know, and you don't, as I say, you don't fall in line with the narrative. They would want to call yourself hating and all sorts of nonsense, right? Sometimes that is unfairly thrown at people. Lots of black people who, you know, I'm pretty sure if I was in the States and, you know, people would say the same thing, you know what I mean? Because you just do fall in line with their, you know, with their way of thinking. But in the case of Candace Owens, she's one of them people like, yeah, like, I think that label really, she doesn't just seem like somebody who's dispassionately looking for the truth.
Yeah, and then on top of that, they're going to marry a white man.
And not just a white man, bro. As white as they could get, you know what I mean? Like, he looks like, you know.
And his family, they're from England.
Yeah. They're British, you know what I mean? So, she... Now, again, I don't tell nobody who to love. And no, I don't
you
say
can love who you can love, but I just saying it makes it look
everything,
a bit...
Everything you do now just looks like, you do look like you hate your skin and you want to be... You don't just want... You aren't just... You know, saying it as it is, talking the things as they are, and trying to help black people to show show accountability. You look like you hate yourself because you always seem to be. If this is a team sport, you look like you playing for the other team.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean. And my thing is, you could be playing for no team, or you could be playing for your team. But when you're playing for the next team, that looks weird to me.
Yeah, and yeah. So my thing on it is, to wrap it up with Candace Owens, I think. Why I keep saying over pushing, because she's had some good points, but then her bad points is kind of forced you to overlook her good points now. Because like, God, like for instance, she's talking about, well, I mean, obviously she's not the only person, but you know, she's pointed out like, would be the protest and anything that came out of the George Floyd thing, how they mashed up the city or whatever the case may be. And she said, that is kind of the same thing that went on, I think, in Detroit. Years ago when they had some protests and a lot of the businesses took their businesses out of Detroit. And now, you know...
Detroit is a hellhole. Many parts of Detroit are like a ghost towns and hellholes, yeah.
Right? And she's saying, no, so don't do them thing now. Like. I understand all the vex, but when they protest, this is all going on. The business people, they feel like going on. One day they know that anything spark off,
you're
going to mash up their and burn down their businesses.
Yeah,
they don't want to go through that.
Yeah.
So I could understand, I could appreciate they saying that.
Yeah.
But then when they start to talk and start to overdo other things, it's like, oh God, girl, oh God.
And not just that, is the fact that I could always tell what you're going to say before you say it. Like, something happens and you ask me, where do Candace Owens will talk about? Like, for instance, if you describe a situation where there was a interaction between a police officer and a black individual, where even if it doesn't result in a shooting or anything like that, right? But it makes the news that, you know, the police officer may have acted inappropriately. I don't even need to know the details of the story. I know once I turn on Candace Owens, she's going to tell me how this individual was a crack dealer, and if it's a woman, she had four different child father and, you know, and six different children, and she this and all of that before I hear I will hear no sort of condemnation of what the police officer did.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that shows me not that you're just calling it as it is. You're playing for a team, and you're playing for, and it's not, it might even just be the white team, but you're just playing for on the anti-black team. Like you, in your mind, all you could ever see is black people need to do better. You know what I mean? As opposed to, maybe some black people do need to do better, but in this instance, that's bullshit, and we need to stop them from doing that bullshit because. As I've said to you 1,000 times, if I hear about a pest who got murdered by the police, not killed, murdered by the police, I may not lose an ounce of sleep, dog. I may not shed half a tear. However, I would still want to ensure that them police officers are held accountable for what they did. I may not, the loss of that life, to be honest, depending on how pesky the man was, he might even be a little bit relieved that he gets sent home. But at the same time, I'm not for police murdering people. You understand what I'm saying? And when the police murder him, I don't want to talk, it's not at that stage I want to talk about all the people he harassed. Because right now we're dealing with the poor. He's gone. He's gone.
Yeah. And as you see, you should have been talking about that before.
Precisely. Before he was murdered by the police, yeah, you could tell me all the pesky things he was doing. But when he was murdered by the police, bro, all we need to talk about right now is the police. We don't, and the thing is, his character doesn't have to come into play in any way. We don't have to rate him. Or we do have to,
and I think just clear it up for the people who might know and might not understand what you're saying. We're talking about in a situation where somebody didn't shoot back at the police or anything like that.
That was the murder.
Yeah, that was it. I want to clear it up for the people who listen. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, we ain't talking about a situation where you know, a man boss behind the police boss and they kill him or they catch him in a bad stand up and they kill him. We talk about that. The police say, boy, you going in that house and running on that man. Yeah, on or that see man. Him lying in somewhere. Come out and blast him. Yes. No gun found.
Yeah.
No, yeah. We don't want that.
We fed up on him.
Yeah.
We can't put a case on him. So we're going to send him home. Right? I am not in favor of that in any way, shape, or form. Even though, I could say, without a doubt, I'm not shedding a tear for him. I'm not losing no sleep that he's no longer here. But I don't want it to ever come to the point where police officers feel they could just go around killing people. And once there's pests, then, you know, nobody go hold them accountable. We cannot have that. And at the time that he's murdered, I don't want to hear nothing about anything he did in the past. Because that is being put forward to what to justify what the police did. No, we can't. As I say, his character doesn't have to come into play at all. We don't have to pretend he was a good boy, and we don't have to talk about all the bad things he did, because none of that matters. He was murdered by the police, and we need to hold the police accountable. So in that whole George Floyd thing, you come and tell me about his character and fentanyl and all that bullshit. You trying to tell me that you will defend the police at any cost? And at that point, again, You're playing on a team.
But I definitely want to watch it because I want to see. I mean, obviously, I could understand how you would get that sentiment from the documentary. But I want to see if that is really 100% what she did in the documentary. I really want to see it. I want to see it. I know they're saying you have to sign up with Daily Wire, whatever, to see it. I don't know if you had to pay it.
I mean, the one I want to see is the Matt Walsh, What is a Woman one. If anything would make me sign up to Daily Wire to see a documentary, would be that one. But I know her, I know her personally, but we know her character. So, it's not revelatory for me to find out that the Black Lives Matter organization is a fraudulent organization. Like, duh. You know what I mean? I would have suspected that the biggest elements of it that came out already that they would have reported on the Daily Wire, I would have heard about already. So, I mean, I'm sure there are little things I might learn from it. But because, as I say, I know what to expect from her, I definitely wouldn't pay to watch it. Wouldn't pay to watch it. But coming back to Kanye West, I think that I generally don't feel like this canceling him is the way to deal with the situation.
No, but I being honest with you, I think the thing is, you're not on social media, but if you watch Instagram Reels, you watch TikTok and all these things, he has drawn up a significant amount of support, you know. A significant amount of support. Like, I mean, people pulling all kind of videos from other people saying similar things.
Yeah, yeah.
And similar, nah, well, man, right. They kind of even pointed out with Michael Jackson too.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Michael Jackson was talking about.
Yeah.
So they pull up his video. So he has a significant amount of support. He's back on Twitter. He's back on Twitter a little while now.
Well, I mean, it's Elon Musk, you know, so.
Well, Elon say he not going to do that. But it's so happened that the same day Elon
Musk. I doubt that very much.
Yeah?
I doubt that very much that he did not do that.
But it's so happened that the same day you and Mark, they kind of Twitter account was.
Yeah.
Was back up around and again. So, yeah, the thing is, I waiting to see how everything unfolds because as I see German up support, the quote unquote conscious black people in America seeming to kind of latch on to him.
Which is crazy because he's on one hand pulling down one of the sacred cause of a lot of conscious black people, which would be the whole Black Lives Matter movement, right? And targeting George Floyd in some of his statements, right? One. But at the same time, he's also saying, so, because listen, blacks and Jews in the States have always had very, you know.
Yeah, it's a tickler situation because the Jews say the Holocaust is the worst, blacks say slavery is the worst, and I know two of them.
Well, not just that. I mean, in a lot of neighborhoods, and I think back in the 90s, there were lots of riots between blacks and Jews in New York. New York and New Jersey, because in many of those neighborhoods, the Jews were the business owners and the blacks were the consumers. And at any point in time, the people could begin to feel exploited or treated, you know, inappropriately and so on. And so they would have that friction, you know, like kind of like a little bit like how we have a friction here with the 1%, you know, a sort of statements being made about the 1% and how, you know, and how, and some of the practices and how they kind of control things in ways they shouldn't control things, which is what we say here all the time, right? And nobody,
yeah.
You know.
Look at them, no ideas.
Yeah, true. But, you know, so that has been, there's always been that tension between blacks and Jews in the States. So for people to pretend like they've never heard what Kanye West has said before or that it's some shocking thing, it's crazy. So like you say, them people would be bringing up examples of other people saying it and it ain't gonna look too good for the people who trying to make this into, like the guy you was talking about trying to say this is the worst thing Kanye West ever did. It makes the people in the media bubble seem, I mean, some of them I could excuse maybe if you never had any kind of exposure to the friction between the two races before, you would be kind of taken aback. But I don't know, Andrew Schultz could have been somebody who grew up in New York and not be aware of the fact that, you know, black people have been commenting on how uncomfortable the situation is with having
and
Jews.
No, but I think a lot of them pretending, as you just say, because also right now Charlamagne on a real pretentious rule right now with this whole thing, you know.
Oh, okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I heard he was real going after Kanye West on the Breakfast Club.
Exactly, yeah. And you know, so
because you know, I guess it's because Kanye West called him out specifically to her. So I guess that will also cause him to get a little bit antsy.
Yeah, well, just deal with that.
I mean, you know, Kanye West suggested that you're kind of under the thumb of the Jews.
But he isn't he? Because the black Effect podcast network is still on True iHeart. And iHeart isn't iHeart owned by Jews?
I would assume almost every major entertainment or corporation in the entertainment industry in the United States is either owned or run by Jews. I would assume so. But what I'm saying is, even if it's true, because I'm sure Charlamagne wouldn't want it to be perceived that he is told what to do or what he can or can't say by somebody on top of him. He always pretends like he says it as it is, right? Although, like I said, he was talking to DJ Vlad and was like, "Hey, I don't even feel like comfortable continuing to talk about this juice thing now." So you are on record admitting that, you know there's a line you can't cross, right? But at the same time, when Kanye West calls you out like that, Same thing with Diddy. When you call them out directly, they can't feel good about that. They can't feel like that's a comfortable position to be in. So maybe that's why he's going after him so hard.
And, you know, just before we wrap it up, a very close reference to something similar to this happening there. There was Nick Cannon. You remember Nick Cannon?
Yeah.
I talk about that and they saw the man's show, the man's life started crumbling.
Yeah. Now he's walking around with a fake turban.
Right?
And it is, again, to do that and then pretend like what they're saying is a lie is crazy. Absolutely crazy. So then to say, oh no, it's a you're perpetuating these conspiracy theories about these people. But then when I say it, I get
one time.
You know who Ari Emanuel is?
Nah.
He is the head of what's the name of the talent agency? The same show that I used to love to watch, Entourage.
Mm.
Right. His character, the character in the show's name was Ari Gold, but that was who the character was supposed to be a depiction of, right? He's a super agent, one of the most powerful talent agents in the entire, in all of the United States. And he was the one and the way he said it too, I read it, but I don't know if I didn't get the correct intonation, but he kind of suggested it's time to unperson Kanye West, you know? And the mere fact that he could kind of say that, it shows these people have the power to do that. You know what I mean? Like, serious? That's... And we're still going to say it's a conspiracy theory? Mm. We're still going to act like, well, he's saying all these crazy things about Jews, that they have all this power and they could just, And then he says something and they...
And that's it, man. Whole life just... It's fallen.
And he said, was he essentially dissed the president of the United States, dog?
Mm-hmm.
He was on national TV and called the president of the United States racist.
Mm-hmm.
And was not treated like he was treated. No. Mm-hmm. The supposedly the most powerful man in the world. He did that. He swiped the mic away from one of the biggest pop stars in the world at the time. That didn't do it. He said slavery was
When he did that, then one of the most popular presidents at the point in time, which was Obama, called him a jackass.
A jackass, yes.
And people still didn't come off the train.
Right, precisely. He didn't. He said slavery was a choice, right? That didn't get him derailed, right? He said George Floyd died of fentanyl poisoning.
Just now, hold on. Before that, the man went and hug up Trump. One of the most hated.
Right. Yes.
President.
War a Make America Great hat over and over and over and over again. Mm. Then he wore a White Lives Matter jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said George Floyd died from fentanyl poisoning. But then he said, boy, I'll go in DEFCON on the Jews. And now... We might never hear from Kanye West again.
But
before we close off, as much as to say Trinity is assholes, but let them know.
Yeah, so Lala Anthony. Mm-hmm. For Halloween she put on a mask costume. Well, what we consider a carnival costume.
Mm-hmm.
And some Trinities.
But just now, before you go forward, right? You get the hype about Lala Anthony?
No, I don't. And I've been saying this for years. But some people think she's hot. Some people think she this. Some people think she that. Whatever. I've been saying this for years.
Listen, she's not a bad-looking lady, of course, right? But the way people has behaved and the way these celebrities, like Chris Rock, was willing to risk it all behind Lala. And I just like, really? Like, what is the big deal? As I say, she's a nice looking woman, especially for her age. She keeps herself well. And, if she was walking on the street, you would look, But in this world of celebrities, like, why is she like hyped like that? I have no idea. But yeah, go ahead.
Probably, there's some stories about her. I don't know. about talent. So apparently some Trinis I've been seeing a lot of local Chinese saying that is more people in the diaspora who
in tried the state?
To, yeah.
Who tried to
attack her for it now, boy.
Mm.
And once again, I was just like, oh God, boy, dog, boy. This is the problem. I mean, the world was never made for everybody to have access to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody to have to be able to comment on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we are now.
It's social media.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. But because the thing is, apparently, it came out after now that she and I think it's Kim or Khloe Kardashian, she and some Kardashian and a few of them come in Trinidad for Carnival next year. Mm-hmm. And they had this arrangement, I think, with Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was all part of a big spiel.
Mm-hmm.
But she's had to get attacked. And people said about this week culture and making a mockery culture when people just has everything. For Halloween, people just as nuns, people just as priests, people just as everything.
First of all, you know what's the funny thing? She said, I saw the caption was never been to Carnival, so about Carnival to me, right? When you saw her attire, that doesn't even have to be Trinidad Carnival.
Mm.
That could be real Carnival she's talking about.
That could be the blues dance in Las Vegas.
La Carnival, right? So, to talk about is we culture. First of all, is that we culture?
Mm.
Is that beads and feathers? Is that necessarily we culture? Is that we culture alone? Like, because she didn't dress up in sailor mask.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? She didn't dress up in a tan costume. Mm. You know what I mean?
She didn't come with a steel pan.
Right. You know what I mean? So, is that we own, that we own alone? You know what I mean? Because she could, in theory, now you say she and them coming down to Trinidad Carnival, okay. But in theory, she could have seen all this backlash from people. I'm like, who's them? From where? From Trinidad? No, I was talking about real Carnival. Because the costumes look the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, how the fuck you know it's you, your Carnival she's talking about? You know what I mean? And how she's dressed, you could see people, like you say, dancing in Las Vegas dressed like that. So, what are you talking? And it's a costume.
Exactly.
And what is worn on Halloween?
Costumes.
So, what is wrong with you? But to be fair, I am quite certain that it is not a lot of people. And that's the problem with social media. We're talking about this, right? Because it became a big thing. When in reality, it could have been four people who said that and 1,000 people who find what they're saying is shit. And then
some people start to talk
about it, and then it becomes a thing. I remember, you know, how much time I had to tell her that. I remember there was something that I was seeing on Facebook. That was the only time when I say I'm done with Facebook, and something I was seeing on Facebook where people were quarreling, like, you know, I think it was the Rowley whining on the little on the young girl, right? And I saw a million people talking about, oh, only have a problem with it. And usually only people who have a problem, And I started to look, and I said, but up to now I can't find the person who have a problem. You know? Who's the person who have a problem? Who are you arguing with? I think you are inventing someone that you can argue with. Right? And, you know, and then I remember asking somebody, and then they send something from someone on them UNC page. It's like, well, duh, you know, it's a UNC page. That's what they do. But is there any regular person out there who's like, fireball Rowley for wine and argue? No, I don't think so. So what are we talking about? So all of us are up in an uproar, supposedly about people being in an uproar. And nobody could find the person in an uproar.
I think I found the one person. I found one video from some girl speaking with that American accent, a young Negro girl. Speaking with American accent, yeah, so
in this Negro
way. Yeah. more than likely, she didn't grow up in Trinidad, or more than likely, you know, she is, what do you call it, second generation or whatever. And yeah, so it's only one I saw so far.
Well, I saw the post that apparently kicked it off, which was somebody saying, "This is why we need to gatekeep," right? Somebody who captioned Lala's picture and like WTF, you see, this is why we need to gatekeep. And apparently that was the post that kind of kicked everything off, right? I don't know where that person was from. That was on Twitter. So I don't know where that person was from. I didn't check to see.
I saw some other things like in the comments of that video, the girl had, you see, the thing, they're making a mockery of weak culture. You understand? Mm. Because there's another type with Halloween and
like, okay. All right. To be fair, I know could see an angle. Because there are some people who have a real big problem with Halloween.
Mm.
Right. So I could kind of see.
Those are the same people that they have a big problem with Halloween.
Mm.
But okay, people half naked in your gyrating on each other.
Well, okay. Right. That, yeah, but okay, yes, that is a dichotomy there that don't make sense. True. But they do have a problem with Halloween. And when I say probably have a problem with Halloween, two things. One, the what they believe to be the less than sacred nature of the festival. And number two, they believe it to be an Americanized thing, right? And so they could kind of feel like those are the kind of people who would be upset about Halloween being celebrated here in Trinidad in the first place, right? But apart from them, the purpose of this discussion, I think the group that would be more easily irritated would be the ones who think Halloween is a demon thing.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Mm. So they probably don't like Halloween period. And now you're seeing, you're putting Trinidad culture, like leave all the cackle, you know, all the cackle thing over there, just know they whatever costume they want, but just don't bring we into the devil thing.
Because
there are a lot of people who genuinely are not fond of the festival of Halloween. That's the only group I will give some sort of. I'm
fine with that.
Mm.
But if you show me all the God thing in the whining and gyrating and the little bit of costume.
No,
because as I say, if it was a matter of the steel pan, if it was a matter of Trinidad culture, I could see you making a issue like kind of culturally appropriate in here, you know.
Well, no, is it cultural appropriation? I find is bullshit. But that is the thing. I have no kind of respect for.
Yeah, honestly, but I could say, as I say, I could see how you could have an issue there, but a costume thing, and
well, like I say, if you think Halloween is devil thing, now the same person mightn't be in favor of people daggering each other on the road, but Trinidad culture is not necessarily people daggering each other on the road, right? So they mightn't be in support of that either, but they think that Trinidad culture is something sacred to them, and they are upset about this festival that they think is something completely demonic and something that they're not in favor of in any way, shape, or form. So to see that Trinidad only bringing my culture into all their damn shit, that I could kind of see why I could see that kind of person being genuinely upset. The cultural appropriation people, them are the people I feel faking. They're pretending, they think it's cool, they think that's a woke thing to say, they're looking for attention on social media. So I think they are pretending. Nobody's offended by the fact that you didn't ask my permission to wear a judgment costume. I find all them cultural appropriation thing is bullshit, right? I don't think any of them are being real. But I could kind of see, now that you mentioned that person saying, you know, keep weeding out all your Halloween thing, it just occurred to me, yeah, there are some people who really not on Halloween because they think that is, you know, that is the 666 day. And so you putting Trinidad culture in that would upset them.
Well, I glad for them, whoever feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was the steel pan and whatever, then I might have feel a little more, you know, I feel kind of, you know, I'm like, all right, I understand.
So she went as a pan around the neck man, that would have been an issue?
Not for me, but I could see those people having an issue that.
Well,
those people they're talking about who don't want Trinidad culture tied into the quote-unquote demon thing of Halloween.
Okay.
I could see it being like...
Well, you see, they're in their minds, when they see the costume, they think carnival is... They just forget a million other carnival. Remember, these people living, they feel their little corner of the world is the world. You know what I mean? And they just forget there's an insignificant little speck that hardly anybody know about around the world. So when they hear carnival, when they see that, they think the only thing that could be Trinidad carnival. Right? They think when she says, you know, I never went to carnival, so I bring carnival to me. You mean? You even feel it could be crop over.
Yeah,
you even
feel
it could be Spice Mask. It could be Miami Carnival. You know, she may never have heard of Trinidad Carnival, and the only carnival she knows is the Miami Carnival that she sees people going. But these people don't think like that. They think carnival is only Trinidad thing. You know what I mean? So they see that and they get upset that I tie up with the Halloween.
But as I say, so I just try not to deal with them because I realize that world is a crazy world. You understand what I'm saying?
The world that feel Halloween is a
No. The world that feel that they need to fight and criticize and
sign off on people wearing costumes. Like,
not costumes, but everything.
Yeah. They had to sign off on anything you.
Yeah.
Once what you doing had to do with me, I had to sign off on it. Like, them own any fucking thing.
That, I just be like, oh, Lord. You see me? Me getting involved.
That is social media, bro. I just keep telling you, firebond social media. Firebond now. We would not have none of that if we didn't have social media.
Don't worry now, man. Putin go deal with that.
Putin could deal with social media?
Yeah.
Oh, why?
Silicon Valley flattened. Hey, we go on this, we shut it down for tonight. Have a safe one, have a blessed one.
Yeah.
We out.